Let's welcome Tony Arterman of WiseWolf.gold, and Tony has set up DavidKnight.gold to also take you there. Thank you for joining us, Tony. Good to see you.
Good to see you, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, I tell you, we're seeing a lot of things happening very quickly now with crypto, with gold, with interest rates. What do you see in terms of, I just talked about these branch banks that are shutting down. That's my biggest concern, of course, is not just, if people look at a time of inflation, and we now have a lot of big banks and the economic analysts are saying, yeah, we think there's going to be credit easing. Gerald Celente has said that they're going to do it because of the election year. And of course, that is true. And so they're going to ease the interest rates. That's going to cause more inflation. That always causes gold to go up. They've been fighting gold by raising the interest rates in an amazing amount. But the thing that really concerns me is this push towards a CBDC and a cashless society. But what do you see in terms of the economic issues as you're watching it closely?
Well, I think the banking issue is systemic. I think it's worldwide. You just had the CEO of UBS come out and say that they're going to need a rescue and out of Switzerland. This isn't good.
Yeah.
You saw the crypto banks failing, FTX, Silvergate, Silicon Valley Bank, all that, and how it affected the regional banks across the United States. And that prompted Janet Yellen to clarify and say that not all banks are going to be bailed out in the new order when things do collapse. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're watching, and the financial networks are never going to pick up on this until it's too late. You're seeing the price of gold arise in the face of the Federal Reserve raising interest rates, the fastest rate in history that they've done that. Mm-hmm. They were able to curtail inflation a bit and cause the perception of a strong dollar, I think, globally. But gold continues to rise. Last year, going into November, David, I believe the price of gold was just under $1,700 an ounce. Yeah. China has added hundreds of tons of gold to their holdings. The central banks around the world continue to buy gold at a record pace. And I think this is what's driving gold. Ultimately, it's demand. The United States and the Federal Reserve is not going to buy gold because the dollar competes with gold in value. And I think what you're watching is historic, is a revaluation of currencies, and central banks are going to gold for a safe haven. That's what the rich and the elite are doing, because this system has cracks in it. It's very volatile.
Yeah. And as you point out, they have raised interest rates and done it at a very fast rate. That's one of the reasons why banks are under stress, is because they got caught with holding banks, holding bonds, and they couldn't trade them out quickly enough. And so that put them underwater with that stuff. But it's also created havoc in the real estate market. Gold prices are holding while new home sales have dropped 5.6% in October. And it's not just that. You've got cryptocurrency that is going through a correction as it's dipped down to $37,000. Gold is hanging in there, even though they have raised interest rates and the rest of this stuff. And so I think as people look at this and realize that in election year, they're going to cut the interest rates significantly, it's only going to go up. But my key thing, again, keeps coming back to having it for privacy, having something that is outside of what they're going to control. Because who knows what they're going to do? You see all these different branch banks shutting down. They could do anything they want. They could do it very, very quickly.
Well, they're going to build, in my opinion, and I think you'd agree with me, they're going to build the central bank digital currency on the backs of the banks that compete the most to audition to be the rollout for that. And I think that's what these big banks are doing. And they'll be buying up the smaller and regional banks. This is a consolidation game. I mean, ultimately, the New World Order is just about consolidating. So I think that's what you're going to see. These banks are going to be auditioning, competing to roll that out. And the regional banks are going to suffer. There'll be less and less focus on the individual or a customer service. I mean, we've lost that completely in this economy and the new age of things with our stock market, not based off profit anymore. So we've completed that ship has sailed a long time ago. So I'm really skeptical of the banking system right now. I don't tell people to not have a bank account, but you definitely need to be skeptical of all your holdings in one place or being in the system. I like having physical gold and silver. There's no counterparty risk. You hold that in your hand. That's something that's real. And, we can talk about crypto and we can talk about Bitcoin. I still think Bitcoin has a story to tell. There's something there to watch, but it's very volatile as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're right about just being outside of the system. And it, well, I think really, David, it's so counterintuitive because we have to watch these prices. We're always watching the markets. But, you know, gold went up 2,000% from 1971 to 1979. But that's not because the gold went up in value. I think that's what you're having to come to terms with here, because we're not taught this in school. they're never going to let you in on this secret. The dollar constantly loses purchasing power.
Yeah.
And the amount of abuse that has gone on and just in the last 5 years, unprecedented. You know, you got 80% of all the dollars ever created were created in the last 48 months. So yes, Jerome Powell can raise interest rates. He can calm a lot of the fears of our global partners and people that use the dollar and the petrodollar, but ultimately it loses purchasing power, and they're not going to be able to, I don't think they can simultaneously keep a strong dollar and lower interest rates, because the economy right now is begging for cheap fiat currency debt. Mm-hmm. And that's these big multinational corporations, these ESG corporations, environmental social governance, that they're looking for cheap injections of cash. Mm-hmm. The Fed's going to have to do something. And when they do that, you'll be able to go back and cash out these bonds with devalued dollars. And it's really going to wreak havoc across the spectrum of what the dollar entails. And I think that's what we're going to have to watch out for. Just really putting too much faith in the system. And gold, in my opinion, is a safe haven, and silver is a safe haven outside of that.
Well, you know, they've always targeted to have regular, their target, what they would like to see happen is inflation of about 2%. And because that helps them to monetize the debt, you know, they spend it and then they can pay it back with cheaper dollars. As you're pointing out, when you look at what happens with gold, you know, gold is really holding its value. And we've talked about that in the past. You go back and you look at something that somebody bought 100 years ago, and it's pretty much the same amount of gold as it was 100 years ago. And it's the dollar that is constantly losing its value. And that's by design. They've wanted that. But now it's kind of getting a little bit out of hand. It's way above 2%. And they're worried that it's going to completely get out of hand. And we've seen that in our lifetime. And as you point out, there's quantitative easing where they increase the monetary supply. They play games with the interest rates. But I had David Stockman on the other day, and he was talking about the fact, he said, look at the massive stimulus that was put out there. That really does dwarf even their quantitative easing and the money that they threw into the repo markets and this and that. I mean, they're just printing this stuff up and throwing it to everybody. But the stuff that happened during the lockdown and that stimulus thing, that was a massive shock. Another person said, so what are the central banks going to do? They've got themselves kind of over a barrel. And what is the Federal Reserve going to do? They've gone from like 900 million to 9 trillion in a short period of time. Are they going to go from 9 trillion to 90 trillion? Is that what they're going to do? And if they do that, what does it do to their currency? It's crazy.
Well, it completely tanks it. I think we're at the end game of post-1971 currency model. And we went off the gold standard in 1971. Gold was $35 an ounce. Kissinger, who just recently died, you know, he pegged the dollar to crude through the Saudis. That's what's known as the petrodollar.
Yeah, he created that. Didn't give him credit for that. They didn't talk about that in AP either. None of the places talked about how he created the petrodollar that's falling apart on us now.
Oh, they didn't give him credit for that, or Cambodia, or a lot of the coups that took place in South America. Didn't give him credit for that.
Secret bombings,
yes. You look at the 70s, David, I think something really interesting happened. I was listening to a podcast the other day with Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he had all these old guys on. I like listening to the old traders, the old guy. This is back in the 70s when the Hunt family put a run on silver and drove up the physical silver market. Now, this was, again, this is just off the heels of us coming off the gold standard. Gold was rising. Silver had always been pegged to the dollar as well. And so they started buying up, the Hunt family here in Texas started buying up physical silver, and I'm just in massive quantities. And, you know, if you really look at it, the deep state most likely took out the Hunts. They used the financial system because they were exposing something very really the power structure did not want them to see, which was how weak the dollar was. So, you know, you always see a dollar is a silver dollar. It's, you know, 0.735 ounces make $1. That's how it was from the founding of the country until we removed silver from our coinage. And so the Hunts were exposing that. And, you know, Bunker Hunt said that the price of silver could go $50 an ounce in mid 79. And of course it did in 1980, went to $50 an ounce. And the deep state came in along with the regulators and really took out and hobbled the Hunts for doing that. And no one ever again picked up that mantle. No one, I think it was Warren Buffett for a little while became a primary holder of silver, but didn't encourage people to buy physical, was not in that, was not trying to drive up the price, just holding. Mm-hmm. Same thing with JP Morgan. I think what we're about to see, I think this could be another silver boom just based on the fact that this happened before when we've had a massive shift in our currency. This is another one of those shifts, except this time, David, I don't think they can put the genie back in the bottle. I think there's not, when you talk about going from 9 trillion to 90 trillion on the balance sheet, like you just said, well, there's no more room. They have no more room to play with this. I mean, when the total debt of the U.S. in 1980 was less than $1 trillion. Mm-hmm. So it's 33 trillion and climbing rapid. And then the wheels are completely off. We don't even have fiscal hawks anymore. We don't talk about budgetary matters. We're 130% of debt to GDP in this country. So I think this, you know, being outside the system, and I think this is why, you know, your show is so important. We're not talking about investments, folks. David and I don't really talk about investments. We're really talking about how to protect you and your family in the coming new order of things, the Great Reset. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. So being outside of the systems is great, but also these are monetary matters. And I think that if you really look at the history here, there's an opportunity for you to protect yourself and your wealth against what's going to have a major devaluation and de-dollarization, the likes of which we've never seen. I think silver is going to be an important part of that story. I'm just kind of thinking about that, at what happened in the last cycle, which was the end of the 1970s.
Yeah, I like the way that Bill Holter put it. He said, we look at what's happening in Switzerland, as you mentioned, with UBS, and then you've got Credit Suisse is going to try to go in there and bail them out, but they're not in that strong a position either. And he said, keep an eye on silver, which is what you're just saying. He said, it may be the pin in the gold grenade. Yes. I like the way that is. If you pull out that silver pin, that gold grenade is going to explode. But again, you know, we've never had a situation before where the government is going to try to corral you into complete surveillance state. Just as Nikki Haley saying, I've got to know your name. If you're going to get on the internet, I've got to know your name. But when you look at the CBDC, it's even worse than that. It's like, you buy anything, I want to know your name, and I want to know what you're buying, and I'm going to keep an inventory of everything that you're buying, and I'm going to tell you whether or not you can buy anything in the future or not. I mean, you don't want to live in a situation like that. It may be necessary for us to have you know, some CBDC credits so we can pay our government taxes. They may require it or something like that, but we don't have to be completely captured into that system if we've got physical money that's outside of that. That's the key thing, I think.
You would be surprised. I think your audience would be surprised too. I mean, I'm in the business and I know how liquid gold and silver are. I mean, I can trade my gold and silver anytime, day or night, pretty much, and turn it into fiat currency. So to me, and historically, gold is money, but I think and silver is money. But I think your audience would be surprised how many people will just trade in gold and silver. People mm-hmm. that I use for contracts, people that do work for me. You would be surprised, folks, just how many people will trade directly. And if not, you can find a reputable dealer. You can find private individuals that will be able to buy from you. It's going to be so important in the future for us to have physical money outside of this system, because I think there, and I think David has talked about this many, many times, they always use a crisis. This will be the perfect opportunity as an excuse. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Mm-hmm. They're going to use this coming crisis that they themselves perpetuated to bring in and usher in the central bank digital currency, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it'd be very easy for them to do that. And then once they get everything online, just think how easy it'll be for them to pull the plug on everything. And how long is it going to take for everybody to really freak out? You know, we had yesterday, we were out of electricity for about 7+ hours. and the whole area, all the schools shut down, all the businesses shut down. I mean, everything just comes to a screeching halt. They can do that with electricity. They can do it with the internet. You know, if you got everybody is transferring everything on the internet as they get us more and more under central control, they can pull the plug on everything so easily now. And as you're talking about being able to trade outside of this very vulnerable system that they've got, it's just like our supply chain, you know, as we saw during 2020. You have this wonderful idea of a just-in-time delivery, and it's working great, and the shelves are full, and then all of a sudden you put a kink in it, and you break part of that chain, and it all falls apart very, very rapidly because it is so complex, and because they've set up something that has so many different travel components in each length of those chains, and so you break that, and now you've got a big crisis on your hands. So these complex systems that they have designed are very easy to sabotage. They can fall apart on their own. And so it's important to be on the outside of that. And I think about back in the Depression, and you probably know some stories about this as well, Tony, some of the cities that would get together and they would create their own local community currency. You had some of them, they still have some of these in museum pieces where they would make, you know, wooden nickels and other things like that. But it would be local tokens that people would use, in a sense, kind of a way of doing barter and exchange within that community. Because, you know, the drying up of the money at that point in time, I don't know, you could argue that it was deliberate or whatever. But the bottom line is it wasn't as structured and planned and deliberate as their move to try to push us into a cashless society is. You know, it was a lot of bad economic planning that was part of it. May have been some conspiracy as part of that as well. But, you know, people had to find a way to exist outside of that financial system, the Federal Reserve, because they completely screwed everything up. This is going to be more by design. It's going to be really deliberate, and they're going to make this, it's really going to be weaponized.
Well, I agree with you. In those Depression era stories, you know, we still were technically tied to a gold standard. So the credit wasn't as elastic as it is now. The problem with now is that we're tethered to nothing. Credit's more elastic, but the fiat currency, the dollar itself, loses so much purchasing power every time you do that. This new system is based off of debt. It's based off of currency creation. You know, if you buy a house, that money didn't exist before, if you want to call it money, that currency didn't exist before. They create it out of thin air to create that loan. Mm-hmm. Credit card transactions are the same way. So with this mountainous sea of debt, and that's it creates new currency units, which expands the money supply, which devalues the currency because it's backed by nothing. So I think that's one of that's the other, that's a flip side of this. There might be elastic credit. You might be able to get something. But it doesn't really matter. It's not going to have the same purchasing power that it did, and it's going to constantly lose purchasing power. Yeah. So that's why, you know, gold and silver are ways for you to stop the music, you know, like it's a musical chairs and you don't want to get left holding the bag.
That's right. Yeah. Deutsche Bank is talking about how they think that they're going to drop interest rates a couple of about 2%, 175 basis points is their projection. Everybody is saying that interest rates are going to ease up. Because it's an election year. They don't say because it's an election year. Solinity says that. We know that it's because it's an election year. But they're going to do it one way or the other. You know, it might be an opportunity for some people to refinance their house if they got something recently. But it's going to be something that is going to be inflationary. And they're playing a very dangerous game when inflation is already this high to do that. And it could easily get away from them. Tell us a little bit about what you think is going to happen in Argentina, as you've been looking at this. This is a guy who's going to get rid of their central bank. I mean, is he going to wind up like a JFK, or will he get away with it?
That's a good way to start. You have to, you know, something, the flip that dramatic, you know, because I've gotten so skeptical on elections anymore. I mean, I look at him like, is any of this real? I don't know. I'm skeptical of how all these things turn out. I'm skeptical of people that rise to the top somehow that maybe have a good idea. I'm like, how did you get there?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm jaded and a little bit cynical, but I like it when it, even when somebody rises to the top, like Argentina's new president, I think it's interesting because he's bringing a lot of ideas to the forefront that maybe people never heard before. That's he's right. Going around with his chainsaw, which is fun. I don't know much about it. I can't endorse him or anything. I don't know much about him, but I think his ideas as an anarcho-capitalist, it's time for us to discuss intervention in the state and central planning. That's and right. What a central bank is. I mean, you have all these financial wizards and masters of the universe running around on Wall Street that don't even agree with free market principles. Wait a minute. How did you get there? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same principle of Karl Marx, the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto is a central bank. Why are we following the Communist Manifesto in a free market?
Yeah.
So these are good, status, it's like we lift up all these entrepreneurs. You put up an Elon Musk, but he's tied to the hip, connected to the hip with the state.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really, is that a genius entrepreneur? I met some genius entrepreneurs when I was a kid. Growing up in Texas, watching my dad, I saw some, and nobody was coming to bail them out. They didn't have government contracts. They built stuff from the ground up, and they were creative, and they had creative financing, and they had to use their brain and had a lot of courage. I got to see that when I was a kid. So I don't know much about the Argentina new president, but I like the fact that we're going to discuss not having a central bank.
Exactly.
Because that caused the problems.
That's a key thing. Having that, and they may not pull something on them. They may not pull a JFK because the IMF really wants something done that is radical. So I think, as you point out, we don't really know who's behind these people and what they want to have done. But the population is absolutely desperate when they've got 150% inflation. And so that a lot of times, I think when you've got a large majority, they will find a way to deal with you later if they need to. They won't get in the way of the election and stuff, the ballots. They'll just deal with you later. So maybe that'll happen. But in the meantime, he's perhaps going to educate South Americans in Austrian economics, and which he's a fan of. So that's good to have that conversation. And he is bringing a lot of ideas to them. But it'll be interesting to see what happens down there. Tell us a little bit of what is happening with Wise Wolf Gold.
Well, we're busy going into the holidays, as always. And, I'm looking to buy more product. That's why I set up the second location here in Denison, Texas, here just south of the Red River and on the border of Oklahoma, trying to buy more product so we can put it into Wolfpack and create a convenient location for people. We're just about an hour or so from the trading floor here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So we're busy. We're handling small orders, large orders. And if you've got, needs for precious metals, we can fill that for you. And of course, you can go to davidknight.gold. If you want to support the show, you can click the link that says join Wolfpack. I really want to get to 1,000 members. It's funny because I'll add 10 and lose 8 and add 12 and lose. I'm right in this window where I want to grow. Because the more people that join Wolfpack, the better deals I can buy for everybody. And we've got, the gold backed notes are going in for, we got Christmas rounds for silver, Santa Claus stuff and other, Christmas related silver coins are going into the Wolfpack. And I've bought lots of fractional silver and fractional gold. So with these rising prices, I mean, especially with gold. And gold got about, right on the edge of breaking its all-time high again. I think it was within like $10 in the last 72 hours. Wow. And I think this is probably going to be something that just continues. And again, I would remind people, it's not because gold's going up necessarily in value. The demand is high, not here in the U.S. so much, but the demand is high worldwide and the dollar's losing purchasing power. So look at it more counterintuitively.
Yeah, we look at we talk about central banks accumulating gold a lot, but I saw that individual investors in China has gone up by 16% year over year in terms of demand for gold, and they're looking at this. They've got economic problems as well. I was showing a ghost mall in San Francisco, but I've shown videos of people walking through big towns like Shanghai and Guangzhou, where they have ghosted everybody with their lockdowns and their zero COVID stuff. And now they're starting it again. So these people are hunkering down. They're very concerned about what's happening. They're very conservative about it. And so it's one of the reasons why gold is really going up in China, much more than you see it happening here in the U.S. The U.S. is kind of complacent about that. A lot of people think that these types of things are not going to be happening here.
Well, if you really look into the 16% spike in year over year, a lot of those purchases are in smaller quantities so people can fly with them. The 1 ounce gold bars and so on and so forth. It's It is an unprecedented time for a currency revaluation like we've never seen before. And I don't even know how to use history as a guide, David. We've never really been down this path as a country, as a modern economy, where we're going to lose so much of our world's reserve currency status. And that's going to spill over into our economy. The repercussions, I don't know how far it will go, but I think it'll be very deep.
And I think Americans are really kind of complacent about this. It's one of the reasons why gold is so much cheaper here than it is in China. And it's actually created kind of an arbitrage opportunity for the bigger investors in China to buy gold up more cheaply here in the U.S. and sell it in China.
Yes.
Because people there have seen, much shakier situations than we've seen here, even though we've been through 2020. Still, people just at their gut level don't believe that war is going to come here. They don't believe the economic crisis is going to come here. We haven't seen that in our lifetime or our parents' lifetime. So we just don't think that's really going to happen. But the people in China do. And so there's a big discrepancy there with that kind of demand. Demand is pulling it up there. But here it's, the Fed will take care of it, or maybe Biden and his geniuses will take care of this, right? Economic geniuses. Well, it's always great talking to you, Tony. And again, Wolfpack is a way that you can set aside and save on a regular basis. And he's got a lot of different levels that are set up there. He's got he's got a community that is set up, as well as being able to take advantage of some discounts in terms of group buys that are there. But of course, he'll sell you anything in any quantity, large or small. Thank you so much, Tony, for coming on. Always a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for your support of the program as well. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Honor, sir.
Have a good day. And remember, davidknight.gold. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Tell Alexa to add the APS radio skill and have access to the best channels anywhere, from country to blues, classic hits to news. APS radio curates incredibly diverse playlists for you to enjoy. Get details at APSradio.com.
Listening to The David Knight Show.